this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that Will was able to make it back. And it's good to see Brother Phil back. And Brother Wayne, Sister Cindy are up visiting Lisa today. So he called me last night and said they were going to be out there. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask God to be with us, Lord, and guide us in this service, Lord, for what you would have us to say, God, to be a help to the people, Lord. We ask, Lord God, that you would, Father, just speak to us in a real way, God, to each and every heart, knowing, Lord, our needs, dear God. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I'd like to read from Hebrews 11, 2 verse of scripture, Hebrews 11, 1, and also verse 6. I'm going to continue speaking on being certain. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I want you to just listen to this first verse here. Faith, not your circumstances, is the evidence. Many times people look at their evidence that God's going to take care of them, or their evidence that something's going to be all right or whatever, is that everything looks okay. That's not faith. Faith, believing, is actually the evidence that it's going to be okay when it doesn't look like it's going to be okay. It's the evidence that it's going to be okay when scientifically it says it would be impossible to be okay. When human logic says there's no way this is going to be okay. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. All right, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. You may be seated. Last Sunday, when we spoke on this, we went through the story about the widow woman in the time of Elijah. And it was the time when Elijah had told Ahab, according to the word of the Lord, he said, there's coming a famine. It's not going to rain until I call for it. And so it stopped raining. Crops dried up. There was a famine in the land. And the thing about it was God bringing judgment, but it actually affected everybody. It even affected this little widow woman who actually was a child of God. Someone, and God had actually, he had ordained for her to actually take care of Elijah. After, remember, Elijah went by the brook, and then the brook dried up. And God had told him, go there to the brook. I'm going to have the ravens come and bring you food and you'll drink from the brook. And then the brook dried up. And so God said, okay, now I've got a widow woman down here, and she's going to sustain you. I've ordained her to take care of you. Now look at God's plan here. When he gets down there, he finds out, she tells him, I only got enough meal and enough oil to make one cake. And me and my son are going to eat that one last cake, and then we're going to die. That's the person God ordained to take care of Elijah during the famine. A person that didn't even have enough to take care of themselves. You know, many times, you know, the thing is, we get to looking at things logically and thinking how this should be, and if this is going to be okay for me, then this should work out this way, and that should work out this way, and this should happen like this and that. You know, look, friends, this looks like God didn't have a good plan. But only if you were looking at it through human understanding and logic. Because if it was up to us, we'd have said, now, we're going to find somebody to take care of Elijah. We got to find somebody that's got a storehouse full of food. God said, no, really all I need is somebody that will believe. That's really all I need. Because the thing is, I'm the Lord thy God that's going to take care of all of your needs. And all I need is for somebody to believe. I don't need a storehouse full of food. They don't need to have barrels on barrels of meal, and they don't need to have a well of oil. All I need is for you to believe. Sometimes we think we need to have a full bank account in a savings account and money put aside somewhere here and there and there. No, all you really need is for God to take care of you, and all he needs for you to do is believe him that he will. So where is it going to come from? Where did the meal come from? Where did the oil come from, Brother Branham said. She believed God, and every time she went, she scraped the barrel of the last of the meal. And Elijah said, the meal barrel will not go waste, and the crucible oil will not be dry until God sends rain upon the earth. But every time she went, she got the last of the meal and the last drops of oil every time. You say, well, look, God, I could really trust you if you just fill up the meal barrel. I'd really be trusting you if you just make the crucible oil full. But this scraping the bottom all the time and the last drops all the time, you know why we have trouble with things like that? Because we have trust issues. We get to thinking the only person we can rely on and trust is ourselves. I'm going to figure my way out of this. And when I get this figured out to where I no longer feel threatened, then I believe. I'll know it's all right. That's not how God works. Look, the prophet said God is obligated. Now think about that word obligated. That means he's got to do it. It's a must. He said he's obligated to bring your faith to a showdown. What does that mean? Your faith is going to be tested. And he tests your faith many times to see how you're going to react. And he'll let you come down to right down to the end like you did this little woman, this widow woman, you know, that every day was scraping the barrel. You know, some people don't know what it's like to live like that. You know, if they had to scrape the barrel at any time, they would fall apart. She scraped the barrel every day, the last drops of oil out of the cruse every time she went to make a cake. She had to trust God every time she walked over to that previously empty barrel. She had to trust God that when she got there, there was going to be enough meal to make another cake. When she turned up that crucible oil, previously she had got the last drops out of it. But when she went back over there to make another cake, she had to trust God that when she turned it up, there'd be some more drops in there. Just enough. You know, like I said last Sunday, you know, all of y'all that, you know, you make recipes or bake cakes or whatever you do in that, you know, and you got certain ingredients that got to be measured out to make this stuff and everything. And have you ever been there where you thought you had enough of one particular ingredient, and when you went to make the recipe, you realized, oh, boy, I hope I got just enough here. I don't know if I got just enough. That was a common occurrence. Where do you think the whole stereotype thing of somebody going next door to the neighbor to borrow a cup of sugar came from. It was a common occurrence to some people. Nowadays, most of the time, if you go to make something and you're like, oh, I don't have enough sugar, it's simply because you didn't pick up more at the grocery store because you thought you had enough or you forgot to get it. There ain't nobody sitting here that could tell me they didn't have the sugar because they couldn't afford to go buy the sugar. God's taking care of you. I don't really think anybody here is really scraping the barrel. It might be tight in this economy with your finances. It might be tight. Quit worrying about it. I'll tell you what's going to happen to you. If you keep worrying about stuff you don't need to worry about, you're going to end up with something to worry about. If you've got money to pay your bills and you're worried about how you're going to pay your bills, God said, all right, here's the whole thing. I got to jerk the rug out from underneath them and let them get a bill that they ain't got the money to pay. And then they'll turn around and say, Lord, help me. Hallelujah. So shed to trust God. Now, we look at, but here's what I want to really get to today. She had day after day after day that she went over there to that meal barrel, and every time she went, there was enough meal to make another cake. Every time she went, there was enough oil to make another cake. So after however many days, months, or whatever that transpired here, And she was trusting God, you would think, well, okay, God, you brought her to a showdown. She showed you that she's going to trust you. Now you should just back off and fill up the barrel and fill up the cruse of oil. God said, no, I got another test I'm going to give her. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. We read from there last Sunday, if you remember. That's the whole story about the widow woman. But most of the time when you hear it preached on the widow woman, you hear it preached down to verse 16. And you never hear the rest of those verses really preached much. We're going to preach the rest of those verses today. You know why? Because we should be able to relate to this. Hallelujah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I done with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and slay my son? This is the same woman that went to the barrel of meal every day and scraped up just enough to make a cake. The same one that had just enough oil to make a cake every day. A cake for her, a cake for her son, a cake for Elijah. Each time she went, there was enough meal. So her faith was tested on that continuously. You would think this woman would have such great faith that when this happened to her son, she could have went over and laid hands on him herself and said, look, hey, God, you sent your man here for me to take care of. You put this responsibility on me. I know you're taking care of me. You've been taking care of me. I believe my son's not going to die. But what did she do? She does what most of us humans do. No matter how much God has done for us, when something new comes up that throws us off our game, we start thinking, well, what in the world has happened? What's done? Don't you love me no more, God? Why are you doing this to me, God? I did this for you and I did that for you. That's what she was saying. I took care of your man, God. We ought to be ashamed. She should have been ashamed. God had done proved that no matter what came up, Look, friends, look at this now, all right? This wasn't like that she had crops growing out in the field and nobody else did. She didn't have no crops neither. She had no crops growing where she could go out and glean that and take the grain and make meal and all that. Look, she didn't even have to make meal. She didn't have to gather grain, grind it up, and make meal out of it. The meal was already made. It was already ground. And then when this happens, though, all of a sudden, here comes her flesh. And that happens, we do the same thing many times. We come to church, God comes and speaks through his word, he lifts us up, he points out the different things, and we say, oh, I see that now, he's speaking to me, I believe that. We go out of here, in a matter of 3 or 4 days, we're back down in the dumps again over something else. Shame on you. The same God that met you here last Sunday, he was with you all last week. And he's the same God that's here this morning. And you know what I'm saying? Shame on us. But now, I don't want you to feel dejected. I don't want you to feel like, well, I might as well quit and give up. Look at me. What a sorry excuse of a loser. You're just human. You're just flesh. And there's times that we can get ourselves to a place of being certain, and then we get thrown for a loop. What is it? It's just our faith being tested in another way. Well, I've been hitting them this way, Satan will say. And now they've got where they can stand up against that. So now I got to try another tactic. Let me hit somebody, like you said, during this widow woman. Let me just touch her son. Let's see how this woman of great faith scraping the barrel and getting the last drops of oil every day and believing God. Let's see what she thinks when I touch her son. And now here comes her flesh. We've all been there. But I'm going to tell you this, friends. That didn't make God turn around and say, I can't believe this woman. Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll show her. I'll just walk off and just leave her like she sits there with the dead son. After all I've done for her, now she won't trust me? No. God said, Elijah says, give me your son. Give me your son. And then Elijah takes the boy. Look back in verse 19. And he said, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, carried him into the loft where he abode, and laid him on his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the woman whom I've sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times, cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come again into him. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came in into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child, brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. Now look, now here the woman's faith again is being tried. Like I said last Sunday, look, the test to see if you will trust God is not just a one-off. God tests you one time, you say, oh, yeah, you trust him? Okay, you never have to be testing in this again. Remember I said that last Sunday? It's not just a one-time thing. Faith isn't just, I only have to believe one time, and the rest of the time, everything's going to be smooth sailing. No, the walk of faith is that you're constantly tested to trust God and believe God. Now, I'll tell you this, friends. God gives many opportunities. But I can tell you this, God in the Bible got angry when the children of Israel, after time after time after time, God came on the scene and delivered them out of whatever difficulty they were in. And every time they come to a new one, instead of them saying God took care of it before, he's going to take care of it again, instead they complained. Finally, they got to where, you know what they finally did? They blamed it on their pastor. Go figure. It's got to be you, Moses. You're the one, you're the reason for this. It wasn't Moses' fault. But look how God gave opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. I'll tell you this, look, a walk of faith is actually a constant walk with tests. Constantly, you're going to have one thing after another that you're going to have to trust God about. It's not going to be now I've showed God that I trust him, I believe God and all that, so from now to the time I leave out of this world, everything is going to be just smooth. What you got to realize is, friends, we're pilgrims and strangers here. We're not of this country. We're not of this world. And the one who actually this world has control of this world right now ain't on your side. And that's the devil. Remember, he said to Jesus, all this belongs to me. Jesus never said, no, it don't. Now, he knew it did because he knew Adam had forfeited it. Now, we know Jesus has actually paid the price to redeem it back. But he hasn't redeemed it back yet. In other words, we're still waiting on him to come back down and actually lay claim on what he paid for. So right now, no wonder the prophet preached the message, God of this evil age. There's a God of this world, but it's not the one true God. It's the devil. These are his kingdoms. He's in control. You don't believe that? It's the truth. Where you think all this garbage that you read about, that all these people talking about the rights for this and the rights for that and the rights for this, where do you think all that comes from? I'll tell you what, friends, it's starting to sound more and more like Sodom. So we're living in a strange land. But we got a God that's got his hands on our life. Listen, we think many times about, Brother Branham talked about having faith to go in the rapture. Rapturing faith. And he would say, people can't even have enough faith for a toothache. How are they going to have faith to be raptured out of here? Well, I can tell you this. God's elect children are going to have enough faith to be raptured out of here. And God's going to see to it that you do. But faith isn't something that you can go down to the store and buy in a little bag. It's not something we can hand out to you in a gift bag that you can pick up out here at the front door. Faith cometh by hearing of the word of God. And it comes through exercising it. It comes through experience. exercising your faith. Now, look, if you'd got no need for it, you'd have no need to exercise it. If there weren't situations in your life that would require you to have faith, then why would you need to have faith? Well, you got to realize, friends, look, all these little things, look, they're really not that important when it really comes down to it. It's just things God allows to come your way because he's building your faith, letting your faith grow. But grow in what? In his word. If he said it, then you just believe it. You don't got to figure out how is it going to be. But now look here at Elijah. Here's a man of God, a preacher. And when she gives him the dead child and he takes it up, what does he do? He says, God, did you bring evil on this woman? Look at him. He's flesh and blood too. Look, smooth sailing is not the signs, Brother Branham said, that God's actually with you. Being delivered out of the storms, being kept through them, that's the sign God's with you. But I can tell you this, friends, there'll be things that happen in your life, and I guarantee you, Satan will be right there to be on your shoulder to say, are you still okay? Are you sure God still loves you? I'll tell you something, friends. Y'all know the testimony I gave about, you only know some of it, really, of what I gave about what I went through when I was suffering with this mental illness. I'll tell you what, there was times my flesh questioned. There was about two or three different occasions that I had Brother Bo come over here and pray for me. I said, come preach for me. I need you to pray for me. And you say, why? And I'll tell you, when I was having him pray for me, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't having him pray for me for God to heal me of that and deliver me out of it. I was having him pray for me because of all my insecurities I was feeling. That's really why I was asking him to pray for me. Because that would be insecurities of my flesh. Are you still sure God's with you? If you are, if he was, why this? See, I'm human just like you are. Shame on me. That's why I can say shame on you. Hallelujah. Look, everything being peachy king ain't a sign that everything's okay, really, between you and God. God's with you, even in you, to the end of the world. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. But I'll tell you what, there's going to be some times when you think, you get really upset because you think, well, I got to try to get this all figured out. How is this going to work? Look, don't try to figure out how God's going to bless you. And don't try to limit God on how much he can bless you. Well, God, now, I know you said you're going to bless me, but I don't want to be in debt. So, you know, just be real careful on how big you bless me because I know what I got to pay for. God's going to bless you big. Not only is he going to give you, he can give you the heart's, your heart's desire, but he can give you what it takes to make it, to pay for it. But sometimes it ain't going to be a full barrel. Sometimes you're going to go over and scrape the barrel every day. So what do you mean? Well, you know, look, God can bless you. That don't mean you ain't going to have no payments. Brother Webber said, don't limit God on how he's going to do something. Look here. God was blessing this widow. At the same time, he was blessing Elijah. And he had tested Elijah's faith. He had tested this little woman's faith. And then he comes down and says, okay, I got to test the little woman's faith further. But I'm not only going to test her faith further, at the same time, I'm going to test Elijah's faith further. I'll tell you this, if you got a good helpmate that God's give you, and look, I'm not talking about just talking to you brothers, I'm talking to all of you, then you be thankful for God for the wife or the husband that he gave you. And there's times God can speak through them. Oh, yeah. Say, well, my husband or my wife ain't serving the Lord. God can speak through anything. That's right. Let me tell you a little story. All right. My grandfather and grandmother Browning, they were actually backslid from God for years. Honestly, my whole life growing up, they backslid when I was like a baby sometime, and I seen them when I was about 11 years old come and give their lives back to God. So they were backslid for all that time. And he actually was a preacher before he backslid. And so they were backslid all that time. And then they had another daughter late in life. And so she was born, she was 5 years younger than me. And they lived next door to us. And so she got where she wanted to come over and ride to church with me and my mom and dad. And so she started going to church with us a little bit. And she learned some of the songs that were sung quite frequent at the church where we were attending, a Message church. She learned some of the songs and things like that, you know, and we gave her a little Bible, and so she was going to church with us, just a little thing. She hadn't even started school yet. And so she was in her room and one day in her bedroom, and she was singing. And she had her Bible right there, and her mother, who had been backslid for years, come walking in. And she picked up the Bible, pointed it at her mother, and she said, "It's dripping with blood, Mom." Quoting it from a song that we would sing, "It's dripping with blood, it's dripping with blood. The blood of the disciples, the blood of Jesus." She said, "It's dripping with blood, Mom." And my grandmother, that like tormented her for days. She could not get that off her mind. Because, see, here's the thing. She knew. She knew there was one time when she was serving God and my dad was a young boy that him and her got down and prayed when they didn't have no groceries in the house and no food to feed the kids, you know, the four kids they had, and they had no food left to feed anybody. And so they got down and prayed and said, "Lord, we need food." And while they were praying, somebody come up on, look, friends, they lived in a little shotgun house with an outhouse for a bathroom. They bathed in a wash tub where they bailed water from the creek to have water to bathe in. And somebody walked up on their little wooden porch, knocked on the door, had some bags of food, groceries. Said, "The Lord spoke to me and told me, go get this, buy this, and give it to you." So see, I'm saying my grandmother knew. That's why she couldn't get away from her little four-year-old girl telling her, "It's dripping with blood, Mom." And you know, my grandmother and my grandfather, they came, you know, and they showed up at a service. Brother Joseph Hankins had come to visit, and he brought the films of, and I'd already seen them before, but he brought those films, you know. Remember when we used to have to watch them on the big reel, the big, what do they call that, 35 millimeter, what was them big projectors? And he brought the 20th Century Prophet and Deep Calls to the Deep. And so we had a, you remember how it was, you had to turn the lights off in the church. Set this thing up, bring a big screen, and project that thing up on there, but and the church being dark, you know, so you could see it, you know. And we watched those two films, you know, and then when the lights came back on, two individuals walked by me where I sat going up the aisle. Friends, you don't know, as a child, I was so attached to my papa. I prayed so much for God to save him. And when I saw them walk by me, I couldn't believe my eyes. I didn't even know they were there. The church was dark. And they went up there. I rushed up to the altar with them then. But here, I want you to listen to this. This little girl that they had, my aunt, she don't even serve God today, brother. Here I am getting ready to turn 62, and she's born in December also, so she's going to be having her birthday coming up in December also. She's so far from God. But God spoke through her when she was a little girl. If you don't think God can't speak through anything, ask Balaam if you ever get the chance. But sometimes God will speak through your godly spouse, your wife, your husband, whatever. And many times you think, look, as a preacher, you think, well, look, God spoke to you. You got it all figured out. You're human flesh and blood sometimes. And you will be tested. I thank God many times I had a godly wife that would say, but you said God told you. Maybe I'll get into that next Sunday. Hallelujah. But here she was tested, this widow. She was tested again after she had showed that she would believe God. Friends, look, Elijah said, make me a cake first. She said, I only got enough for one cake. He said, make me a cake first. So she showed God, and he said, if you do, the mill barrel will never run, go empty, and the crucible will never run dry. She showed God, I'll believe that. I'll take you at your word. And then every day she took God at his word. But then something new happened. Now it wasn't. Look, friends, she'd already been faced with the potential death of her and her son anyway. Because that's what she said to Elijah, we're going to eat this last cake and then we're going to die. So she already figured they were dying. But now God starts taking care of her. And death leaves her mind. Praise God for that. But then this thing that had left her mind, all of a sudden it came back. Bam! All of a sudden with a force. And in there he lay dead, cakes or no cakes. And her flesh rose up. So here's what I'm saying. It's happened. There ain't nobody here could stand up and say they ain't been there. That they aren't guilty, that it ain't happened to them, where God had took care of them, something came up, and all of a sudden they started questioning. Every one of us has been there. Don't feel condemned over it. I know I said shame on you, but don't feel condemned over it. That's your flesh. Take the word that you're hearing and let faith rise up and take you through that situation too. What's that song we used to sing? God can do it again. He's done it before, and he'll do it again and again and again. How's it go? God can do it again. again and again and again. He's the same yesterday that he always has been. Hallelujah. I might not remember all the words how they go exactly. I ain't sung it in years. But friends, look. God is going to keep taking care of us. He's going to keep doing it again and again and again. That means there's going to be a need again and again and again. It means there's going to be another situation, another thing you got to face in life. Just keep trusting him. Hallelujah. Amen. Just keep trusting him. How do I please God? Just believing. Just have faith. You got to believe that when you ask God, that he'll do what you ask him. Now look at Elijah's faith. Elijah said, let the child's soul come back into him again. Now why would Elijah ask God that? Because he believed that God was a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He believed that if he asked God, God would do it. You know what our problem is? Jesus said, you have not. What did he say now? Because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. It ain't that you don't have not because you ain't got the money. It ain't because you don't have not because God don't want to give it to you. Brother Ram said, God's more willing to bless you than you are to receive it. You don't have not because you ain't rich. You know what the Bible says about money? It doesn't say money is the root of all evil. Y'all know that, right? It says the love of money. You know what that is? That's the lust. That's the envy. I'm going to tell you this, friends. I do not envy rich people. I don't hang around rich people hoping it rubs off on me. I don't doubt what there ain't some nice, good, rich people somewhere, even God's servant rich people. But from my experience, a lot of the rich I've been around, even some that profess to be believers, weren't really that great to be around. You know who was the best people to be around? Sometimes the poor people were the better people to be around. Let some of what they got rub off on you, boy. You'll be like Jack Cole's mama. She said, I want what Jack's got. That's what she did when she come up to the altar to get saved. She didn't say, I want to be saved. I want what you got. I want this. She said, I want what he's got. Whatever it is, it's great, and I want some of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jack Cole said when he got saved, he said he really didn't know how to praise God or how to thank God and that, but he didn't know how to describe what he felt. He said the first thing coming out of his mouth was, hot dog! He was just excited. He felt something, boy. Woo, he felt free. God had delivered him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. So Elijah asked, and God came down and gave life back to that boy. Hallelujah. And so he brings the boy back, and he took the child, brought him out of the chamber in the house, delivered him to his mother, and Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God. What? You mean you didn't know by that mirror barrel and that cruise of oil? You didn't know by that you only had enough for one cake, and here you've survived how many more months and ate how many more cakes? Now you know? Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you what, friend. I've been there. I have been there. I've actually been there in Elijah's shoes. And people tell me, now I know. And I think, what? What do you mean now? You mean you didn't know 25 years ago? Now I know thou art a man of God, and the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is true. Now she knows the word of the Lord in his mouth is true. What about the word of the Lord he spoke back that many months ago when he said, the meal barrel will never be empty and the crucible will never go dry. God's going to sustain you. What about that? Wasn't that the word of the Lord? Didn't she believe that? Yeah. But flesh gets in our way. It is your greatest enemy. You walk out, God speaks to you when you're here on Sunday and Thursday, and God speaks to you. And then you walk out this door, and you know who you run smack into sometimes? Yourself. And you trip all over yourself. And you're up on the mountaintop by Sunday, and by the time Thursday comes around, you're so down in the mully grubs, you don't even hear what's preached. And then I wonder sometimes, why do I got to keep coming preaching some of the same stuff? That's why. Like that, what was that story they tell about somebody got up and sang a song and a man stood up in the church and said, sing it again! So they sung it again. They got finished singing. He said, sing it again. And they kept going on for quite a while. And finally he said, how many times you want me to sing it? He said, sing it till you get it right. That's how we are sometimes. God said, well, you're going to have to do this again. How many times, God? Until you finally get it right. I empathize with what Brother Branham said. Brother Branham said, you know, if I was God, I'd say it, give somebody an opportunity. If they didn't take it, boom, it's it. That's over. He said, but God's not like that. God will give you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. Now, you're looking at it many times and you're thinking, my goodness, here I'm facing this same stupid thing again. And God says, no, it's just the same opportunity. It's just the same opportunity for you to believe me, to trust me. Now, what you got to do is you got to want to accept the word of God and change your way. Change the way you look at things. And I just want to make this straight, all right? Look, God don't give us an excuse ever to have a bad attitude. Hallelujah. Well, I don't like it. Quit being a baby. That's what little kids say. I don't like it. I remember one time. I'm going to tell one on you. Remember one time Will got in trouble for something at the house. He's just a little feller. And so Manny told him, said, you go over there and sit on that stool in the hallway. And you'd have a timeout. Just sit on that stool. You know, so it was in the hallway. There was a little stool. The kids used it to step up on when they brushed their teeth, the shorter ones and things like that, which would have been Will. So Will was sitting on this little stool. People were going by and by him, and he said, I don't like sitting here. His mom told him, you ain't supposed to. You ain't supposed to. But you know what? He learned from it. Prince, look, God, he's a father, and his word is love, and his love is corrective. His love will point out to us when we're not acting right. Whereas y'all say down here, when you're acting ugly, quit being ugly. Change. Accept God's word. You say, am I ever gonna falter again? The woman did in this scripture we just read, this story. Human flesh, yeah, you are. But when it's made known to you that you are, don't get mad now. Sometimes, you know that saying, don't shoot the messenger. Don't get mad at the person that points out when you ain't acting right. Don't take it out on them. Instead, you say, well, what do I do? How do I change this? How do I, the way I'm feeling, I am so consumed with the way I'm feeling. How in the world am I going to change how I'm feeling? I can't just snap out of this. Drop to your knees and start praying. Look, friends, as Jesus said, search the scriptures and see if those that you think that you have eternal life, if they don't speak of me. Search the scriptures and see if I ain't true what I'm telling you. Test this out and see if it don't work. You got a complaint? It's like that preacher I heard one time from Ireland said, if you think the service goes too long, then after church, go home, get on your knees, and tell God about it. God, church has just been going too long. He said, complain to God. Something not right in your life, something's going on, and you don't like it. I don't like this. Get on your knees and tell God you don't like it. Don't go around telling everybody else. Don't go telling your spouse. Don't go taking it out on this one and that one, whatever. Look, get down and talk to God about it. Here's what will happen. Your attitude will change. I guarantee you that. How you're feeling, it will change. Now, don't you go down and start getting close to blaspheming. Don't get down and start blaming God. Just get down and say, God, look, I am tore up. I don't like what's going on. I am upset. I can't get this figured out. Lord, I need you to touch me and get me out of how I'm feeling right now. Look, you can't go sleep this off. People think they can go sleep off a bad attitude. They can go sleep off a situation. You cannot. Believe me, I know. When you get up, it ain't going to be no different. Oh, you might have somehow kind of like forgot about it for a little bit when you get out of the heat of it, but it ain't gone. It'll be back. You say, well, then how am I going to overcome this? What am I going to do? Just keep praying and believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you need to change and you need deliverance, then you keep going to God about it. Get into it. Friends, I'm going to tell you this. You don't got to, if you would just drop to your knees and you said, well, I don't feel like singing, I don't feel like praising God, just do it anyhow. Look, start practicing ruling. We're going to have to rule and reign in the time of the millennium. Start practicing now. Rule this body. Rule this flesh. Lord, you said that when people are speaking ill about me, I should jump for joy. Well, then praise God. Just start praising the Lord. Just start thanking the Lord. I don't care what you feel like. Jesus never asked a man, how do you feel? He said, do you believe? And the man knew he was human. And he said, Lord, I believe, but you know, I'm human. I'm flesh and blood. So help thou my unbelief. Just start praising him anyhow. I guarantee you, if you'll just start praising the Lord, that old cloudy feeling will leave. You know why? Because the Bible says the angels of the Lord are encamped round about them that fear God. And it says he inhabits the praises of his people. And Brother Bam said, if you say, praise God, he said, that'll drive about 10,000 demons back this way. And you say, hallelujah, it'll drive another back this way. It'll drive all them demons that's tormenting you away. It's not a possession, it's an oppression. See, a possession, when people are possessed with the devil, then you know what that is. Well, oppression is just the devil coming and just settling down around you and making you feel bad. Well, you can get rid of that oppression. Just start praising God. Just start trusting his word. So do I need to start rebuking the devil? Brother Graham said, nope. He said, you ignore him. Don't even try to talk to him. Just ignore him. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to close. Listen, I told you all this many times when I was preaching on different subjects dealing with the very thing what I was dealing with here right at the end. And I said, you know, there was times in my life I would get really down. And I would, you know, even as a young man, a teenager and that, and there was times I things seemed to get pressing on you and in life and that, even, you know, and when you're young, you really don't even have a clue how much it's going to get pressing on you later on. But, you know, there was a friend of mine, Mark Sice, and, I would tell you, you know, anytime I got down, I could go get around him, and he would cheer me up. He'd make me feel better. He was a person you liked to be around. But this is what I haven't told you. He had a rough life. He had nothing to really have joy about when it came to this life. And I just wonder if any of y'all ever knowed anybody like him, this friend I had. Is all the people you ever know in your life has been negative Nancy's? You get around them and they just make you feel worse. Or people that the only way they think they can feel better is if they drag somebody else into how miserable they're feeling. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that right now. I'll bring up more of that maybe on Thursday. We'll see. Amen. Stand your feet. Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. Lord, I ask God that you would, Lord, take this thought that you laid in my heart to speak, Lord, to Father, to take the rest of the story of this widow woman. Lord, that we can relate to that, Lord, because many times we falter in our flesh. But God, we've got faith in your word. We see where we make mistakes. We see sometimes, Lord, where we give over to doubt in the flesh. But Lord, we never really in our heart and our soul doubt you, Lord. And Lord, you remind us of that this morning in your word. And you forgive us, dear God, of the times of our falterings. And you come down and perform your word anyway. And Lord, it's just another test. It's just another test. But it's also, God, another opportunity for our faith to be built. To be built greater. To have greater faith. To have faith, God, that goes beyond just getting meal out of a barrel. And faith that goes to raising the dead. Hallelujah. One day, God, the faith that your children have, Lord, is going to take us out of this world. Hallelujah. The faith that are in those of your children that are yet here alive, Lord, you said that was going to draw the dead in Christ up out of the ground. Hallelujah. It's going to bring about the resurrection. Hallelujah. Bless your people today. God bless them in throughout this week, through their tests, their times, their trials, their God, that will just trust you more. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.